Welcome to Eagle Eye.
What a break from Manoa!
Interviewing your favorite USA Eagles around the globe.
Tony Limbaugh into the 22.
Now, here's your host, Bill Baker.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. When you get a moment, please like, subscribe, leave a comment, follow whatever the buttons are on the bottom of the screen, all that. And please share this podcast with your friends. Each episode, we're speaking with someone involved with USA Rugby, whether it's an Eagle overseas or someone in the back office here with USA Rugby. We're here to talk to these guys and share their stories. All right, let's get right into it. Today's interview is with none other than Danny Barrett, 7-star, moved on to Major League Rugby with the Houston Sabercats this year. We have a really fun conversation about his transition from 7s to 15s. In my mind, 7s is such a wide open field, and now you got this crowded field of 15s. I love them both, don't get me wrong. And he talks funny about how it's 80 minutes now, and he has to get used to that instead of 20-minute games. But real good conversation about that, about the 7s, about his history playing the Olympics, playing in his backyard in the World Cup in San Francisco, and then what's next for him. Is he done with 7s? He doesn't know. We'll figure it out. And then what's next for him as well? The new dad. He just had a baby just a few weeks ago. So congrats to Danny. But here we are with Danny Barrett. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for giving me your time. Congrats on the newborn. Are you sleeping? How's the mother doing?
Yeah, no, it's been great. My wife's an absolute rock star, so she's been kind of taking the brunt of the load there, but yeah, we're getting a bit of sleep here and there, but no, she's, mama's all good. Baby's all good. So yeah, we're just happy and healthy.
That's great. It's great news. Is this your first?
Yes, it is.
So has it been difficult? I know you said your wife's been a rock star. Has it been difficult balancing, relatively new family with rugby?
It has, we had the baby, and then 2 weeks later, we moved out to Houston. So not the easiest task ever had. But my family stepped up pretty big to help us move out and just to be there and be a part of all of it. And then the rugby side, it's tough. But, what differs is I'm not gone 2 or 3 weeks at a time. I'm gone, maybe 36, 48 hours. So then I can kind of get back and help out and just be around. One of the big reasons going to the MLR was I wanted to be around. I wanted to spend time with my wife, with our daughter and, the dogs, and just be here. So it's actually given me a bit more incentive to just kind of be here,
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how has that transition been for you? I know you're not new to 15s, obviously, but how has that transition been to you coming from full-time 7s back into that 15s fold?
Yeah, you forget kind of how long it is. Like 80 minutes doesn't seem that long when you're watching it on TV, but when you're in it, it's not a 7s game, that's for sure. but it's been all good. We have a tremendous group of guys. The South African influence, South African people are just amazing human beings. And then, the rest of the group, all the puzzle pieces are right. We have just like the culture is very good. Heineke and Pote have been, super big on culture and family and bringing, our individual families in for barbecues and whatnot. And, getting everybody to know each other off the field as well as on. So, I mean, the transition's been great. I think it's definitely a lot more physical and combative than I remember. But to me, it's been awesome.
Well, like I said a minute ago, I was watching 7s just, I think, the last tour stop, last HSBC stop. And I think I went from a women's match, and I flipped over to a premiership match, Newcastle. So I'm watching 7s, went to 15s, and I was just like, whoa. That is so crowded out there, all those players. I mean, again, for guys like myself, I played a little 7s, but, obviously not near the level of you. And I had a blast doing it, nice 10-minute halves or whatever. But what about that? What about the crowdedness of the pitch at that point? Is that a thing for you?
Yeah, I think having played 7s for so long, I think I see the field very differently. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, sevens, you have to be so technical. Like, everything has to be perfect or it's a turnover and it's 7 points. So kind of coming with that mindset of, you know, everything I have to do it as if nobody else is coming. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm clearing out a breakdown, I have to do it as if nobody's coming. And that's kind of, you know, where I'm stuck at. But I think it's a really good thing, because if I'm technical and I'm exact, I'm 100%, then that ball should be fast for us. But as well, like defensively, you know, I'm used to seeing kind of bodies falling and moving and, you know, the changing of pressure, you know, in contact, to be able to, you know, hopefully get my hands on a ball and a breakdown. So, yeah, you know, there's certain things that, you know, the sevens game kind of provides. You see the field very, very differently. You get a bit more of a break in 15s. You know, you make a tackle or two, and then you can kind of hide for a little bit. Not that we want to, but, right. You know, the game with so many people allows that to happen. Where sevens is, you know, you make a tackle, get back on your feet, next job, you're running another 20, 30, 40 meters to get something else done. So, no, I think it's been great.
And you talked about your decision to go to MLR, you know, family number one. Are there other deciding factors in that as well? I know a number of other players moved on from sevens too that you've been playing with a long time. Are you looking forward or looking to the future as far as maybe another World Cup spot for USA?
You know, I haven't thought much about it yet. You know, just kind of trying to get in, integrated into the squad. I mean, before that first game a couple weeks ago against LA, my first training session was the day before. Oh, wow. So, you know, I'm still very much learning the systems and all of that and trying to pick things up. That first game, I didn't even know everybody's name when we took the field. So it's one of those things, you know, I'm just taking it step by step right now. It's been a long time since, you know, I had played a 15s game. It was actually 6 years and one day from the day of that LA game to the last 15s game I played at any level.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, we're just taking it day by day right now. And then, you know, if the coaching staff calls, that's a conversation for my wife and I to have at that time. So.
And I'm assuming having familiar faces in camp like Liuta and Anufe helped your transition as well. And I'm sure that you knew other players in the team besides those two.
Yeah, definitely. You know, having Maka and Matai there, Christian Dyer as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've played with and against Zach Pangilin in the time or two. Nick Boyer I played with in college. So, you know, having these guys around, you know, people that kind of know the lay of the land and the city. So, hey, you know, my wife wants sushi. Where's a good sushi spot? Or, you know, we're looking for like a good beer or something. You know, do you guys have any recommendations? Even the people who, you know, I didn't know have been super welcoming and open. And that just speaks to the culture that, you know, the coaching staff and the management is trying to build. You know, everybody is truly family, and we look after our own.
Now, speaking of sevens specifically, you know, are you done with sevens? Is it behind you now, or is still will there be a level of sevens for you, perhaps like Premier Rugby Sevens?
Never ever say never ever. yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm pretty content where I'm at and doing what I'm doing. But, you know, if my body feels good and, you know, the coaching staff gave me a call, you know, it's not something that I would turn down immediately, and it's not something I would immediately agree to. That's a conversation that, you know, again, that when my wife and I would need to have. But, you know, there is a soft spot in my heart for the Sevens program, and, you know, World Cup come in October, if they need me, then it might be hard to turn down. Right. But that's, again, you know, we'll figure it out when we get there. It's kind of my motto I live by.
Yeah, why not? and more about Sevens, you know, well documented, you made the USA side in 2014, and you've logged some serious miles around the world, and a great, I'm sure a lot of memories, which we'll talk about in a minute. And I know before that, you also traveled to the London Club Sevens with Golden Gate, which, and when you were at that tournament with Golden Gate, or even prior to that, could you ever foreseen that you would be traveling the world with, you know, playing rugby at that point?
You know, not really. My next door neighbor, my freshman year at Cal, was Kyle Caravelli, and Kyle's dad was a sevens coach at the time. And I remember having a conversation with Al, you know, years ago, saying, you know, I was pretty upset that I didn't get picked for like a U19, U20 stuff. And he's like, well, would you rather play U19, U20, or would you rather go to the Olympics? And this was, you know, the year after it was reintroduced into to come for Rio. Yeah. Well, you know, like that'd be great and all, but you know, I haven't played much sevens. You know, I kind of you beat around the bush trying to find a way out of it. And who would have known that, you know, Al had an eye for that? You know, that was what, 2008, so 14 years ago.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, I think as an athlete growing up, you know, watching the Olympics, you want to go to the Olympics no matter what, and whatever sport it may be, swimming, diving. You know, track and field, ping pong, table tennis, I guess, volleyball, whatever it is. You know, we all aspire to be at that elite level of athleticism. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad it was in rugby. It was something that, you know, I fell in love with at a pretty young age. And that kind of allowed me to, you know, pursue my athletic dreams.
Now, looking back at Rio 2016, you know, I wasn't even there, and I get goosebumps thinking about how you and the other Team USA walked out during open ceremonies. You know, talk about that moment for you, you know, not just being selected for the team, but just to walk out onto that stage.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, looking back, Andrew Duratalo and I were, you know, in the front line up until the last second, and I kind of got pushed back. From when Team USA walked out, I think there was 555 of us, the biggest congregation. And in front of us was the smallest congregation in Micronesia. But it was awesome because as I got pushed back and kind of, you know, forced out of that front picture, everybody wants to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, ESPN Magazine, whatever. My family got to see me, you know, straight away. I walked in and, like, there's a big empty space and I'm standing in it. Says, oh, there he is, like, there he is. And, you know, just being able to spend time with, you know, share a couple words with Michael Phelps and Carmelo Anthony, the basketball players, the whole basketball team. I mean, it was just an absolutely incredible time. But as well, at the end of the day, you know, we are here for a reason. You know, we are those guys in our country for the people who are rugby fans in our country. So, you know, don't get too excited about meeting, you know, athlete X, Y, and Z, because, you know, we're meant to be here. We earned our right.
You talk about the emotions of playing in Rio, but it had to have been different emotions for you when you played in the Rugby World Cup Sevens, pretty much in your backyard in San Francisco. You know, talk about that, you know, being able to play at that stage in front of family and friends.
Yeah, the World Cup in San Francisco was kind of a culmination of all my sporting dreams coming true. Like 95% of it, really. I mean, I grew up a huge baseball lover, and you know, my dream before rugby was always, you know, I'm going to be a professional baseball player. I'm going to play for the San Francisco Giants. That never happened, obviously. but you know, to be able to kind of come full circle and, you know, play in the pinnacle of sport for our sport, especially sevens, in San Francisco at the Giants Stadium, where, you know, 2010, 2012, I was at World Series games, you know, in this incredible atmosphere, sporting atmosphere. And, you know, to be able to run on the field with, you know, I couldn't even give you a number, probably hundreds of people that, you know, I've played with and against and have met, you know, throughout the years just in, you know, the greater Bay Area. All in the stadium, and you know, my parents had a huge tailgate out in the parking lot, and you know, people coming up like kind of out of the woodworks, right? You know, oh, you know, I played against Danny at, you know, 2004 at this tournament, and so and so, like, so just kind of things like that, where you know, you realize how many people that you have come in contact with over the years, and mm-hmm. kind of how big of an impact, you know, you've had in their life and them and yours, and kind of get into where I've been able to make it. So yeah, I was just absolutely fantastic. One of the very, very few times I've been nervous before a game. I'm not generally a nervous person. I think there was that. There was the All Blacks game in 2014 and when I got married. Those are probably the three times where I've been the most nervous in my life.
Married needs to be number one, obviously. That needs to be one.
Yeah. I mean, it was all good. We knew we were getting married, but it was still like, oh, man, here we go. All right.
Of course. This is it. Yeah. So we're looking at the, you know, all the series you've done with HSBC. You know, a lot of people talk about Hong Kong, how amazing that week is, especially for the fans. And, you know, are there certain stops that you have better memories with or you like better than others?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you always have that soft spot for Vegas, you know, having won it in back-to-back seasons. I mean, how can you not love that after, you know, a couple, you know, really tough years, you know, losing in Shield finals and, you know, just playing some pretty bad rugby to then, you know, four straight semifinals and getting knocked out in three of them, right?
Yeah.
To then finally get over the hump in 18 and then back it up in 19. Is just incredible. I think our first cup win in 2015 in London is another one of those, you know, we just played so well. It was just an absolutely incredible team, an incredible group of guys. And then, I mean, you look at, you know, the 18-19 season as a whole, we're the only team to ever make 10 consecutive semifinals, you know, a season, every single stop in the season semifinal. And as an American side to do that, when people are, you know, what are you guys doing? You're not supposed to be here kind of thing. Right. You know, this is our sport. You guys shouldn't be playing this. You know, to be able to kind of shove that in their face is like, yeah, all right. You know, we're not just this tier two nation. You know, we can actually play. I think every time we've gone to Cape Town has been incredible. I think, you know, the way South Africans look at rugby is different than the rest of the world. By all means, they love South Africa rugby. You know, they die green and gold, right? But they also just love to share that experience with you. And to, you know, you see, you know, just an everyday guy or girl walking through the airport and, oh, hey, you know, I saw the Sevens on the weekend. You guys played really well. And, you know, they just want to talk. They just want to hear your stories and your insight and, you know, what did you guys think? Did you guys like South Africa? And it's such a different way of thinking about the game and being able to talk about it. So I think every time we've gone to Cape Town, it's just been phenomenal.
Who's going to be South Africa this year? They just seem lights out. I mean, why are they such a strong sevens program?
You know, I think a lot of it comes from attitude. You know, they do have a lot of the smaller players. They're probably one of the smaller teams on the circuit, but you know how they can take a kid who's been playing touch rugby, who's incredibly athletic, incredibly skilled with ball in hand, but also get them confident to defend and to tackle is incredible. And, you know, to me, a lot of that comes from purely mindset and, you know, getting people involved and, you know, this is how we'll do it. This is what's going to happen. You either buy in or we'll find someone else. And I think they've just done an incredible job of building that culture and kind of that family and brotherhood of, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to work hard for each other. You know, it's absolutely incredible how they've done it with outwinning what they win about 14% of their own kickoffs. And that's, you know, one of the best balls in the game is you win the kickoff, you don't ever have to play defense. The game's centered around attack. So It's incredible.
All right, just a couple more questions, Danny. Let's talk about you for a second. You're obviously known as a physical player. You like to initiate contact, which has created some amazing highlights. How would you describe your playing style? Obviously, it's physical, but is there something else your playing style that you like to share? Like to I don't know what the word, but like to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy that physical side of things, especially on when it comes to the seven side. It's a bit tougher in 15s because I'm no longer the biggest guy on the field, which is not really as fun. But no, you know, you use some of the stuff that you learned in sevens to kind of change the way you attack in 15s. I think, you know, the mindset of being able to, you know, speaking about Sevens here, to go at the same person over and over and over and over again, you know, if you get bumped two or three times, that mindset is going to change from, oh, I'm going to make the tackle to, oh no, not again. Like, we got this guy coming again and again and again. Like, you know, that makes a huge difference in, you know, the psyche of a team and in a game. I'm not lost on, hey, if I can suck in two or three defenders, well, I have Perry and Carlin, Marty and Maka, and, you know, some of the fastest guys, the best feet in the world on the other side with an extra 20, 30, 40 meters of space. Like, I could really care less if I'm the one scoring, but I'll be really mad if we are not the ones winning. So it's all about, hey, give them 250 tries, 300 tries, whatever they want, as long as we're winning games. And I'm happy to do anything for the team. So
I just talk about that physical style of play. You know, where did you learn to play like that? Where did you learn to initiate contact? Because I see a bunch of players will get ready for contact, but you're meeting them halfway. You know, did you learn that through football? Where'd you learn that style?
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of being the youngest child, having two older brothers. You kind of have to get used to it and, you know, fend for yourself from time to time. So credit definitely to my brothers, Jim and Neil. But I also, you know, the rugby that I, or the sevens that I grew up, that I, you know, learned from the beginning was the Palamo family. So Threaten Palamo is over playing in D.C. His brothers, Seta and Toshi, were teammates. Threaten, Seta, Toshi were teammates, and their dad was the coach. So, you know, growing up kind of playing with, you know, Polynesian players and, you know, seeing how, you know, it's not, if you're going to make contact, you're making contact. You're not letting them make contact with you. I believe they call it the Samoan sidestep. So probably a little bit of that is in my blood. You know, I just love the physical way of playing, and I'm not just going to let someone hit me. You know, if you're going into a fight, you're not just going to let someone punch you. Like, you're going to try and get in and get out and hit back and do all that stuff. So for me, it's, you know, I'm going to be the initiator almost more so than anything. And it's all based off of timing. So if I can get you to shoot and I can get my timing right, then we're all good.
So are you saying right here, right now, that you're the toughest of the brothers?
Yes, I'm saying that I'm the toughest, but depends on what you call tough. Because my oldest brother's got three boys, so I know that's pretty difficult. But yeah, I think I could take that for right.
Right. All right, Danny. Hey, listen, buddy. I really appreciate give you the time. You know, good luck this season with Houston, and I'm hoping to see you out there soon on the pitch.